Seattle's Morning News, this is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Neurosurgeons are able to now use electrodes to stimulate certain areas of the brain to treat certain brain disorders, but this technology is about to take a big leap forward. So let's call on the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. This was from an article we saw on the BBC, Dr. Cohen. And before we talk about the new cutting-edge technology, what is it that neurosurgeons are able to do currently using this kind of brain stimulation?
Yeah, good morning, Dave. So deep brain stimulation is a technique that's been around for some time now that's actually used by, as you said, neurosurgeons and neurologists. And it really involves implanting electrodes within certain areas of the brain. Now, the thing is, the electrical impulse has to be controlled, and it's controlled by a pacemaker-like device. It's actually placed underneath the skin in your chest, and then there's a wire that travels from that device to these electrodes in the brain. It's really been most effectively shown to work for people with movement disorders and psychiatric conditions, such as obsessive compulsive disorder. And importantly, it's been approved for use by the FDA to reduce seizures in difficult to treat epilepsy patients. The technology that's being talked about in this article by the BBC is really more research oriented, but you know, there's been a lot of advances in the field of neurotechnology that are actually bringing us closer to being able to actually boost or enhance our memory. And so in the next few decades, we may actually be able to actually manipulate or rewrite our memories.
Right. I know the Pentagon is investigating this technology as a way to treat PTSD caused by experiences on the battlefield. But, I mean, you can't screw this up, right? I mean, if you get this wrong, you could change somebody's entire personality, couldn't you?
Right. So that's the risk. So it may be like in the next 20 years that we actually get to the point where we're actually able to implant devices like this. But the problem is that it's possible that you could actually, you know, brain jack, so to speak, these devices, that you could actually hack these things and actually affect people. For example, in 2017, there was a recall on 465,000 pacemakers in the United States, once they were considered to be vulnerable to cybersecurity attacks. The FDA ultimately recognized that, man, some hacker could actually tamper with these devices and actually change the pace of someone's heartbeat or drain the batteries at a faster rate, and that it could risk death. So they had to recall all these devices. Now, in the end, no harm was done. But, you know, the FDA was quoted as saying that, quote, as medical devices become increasingly interconnected via the internet, there is an increased risk of exploitation of cybersecurity vulnerabilities, some of which could affect how a medical device operates, unquote. So that's the problem, is that with these devices being implanted in the brain, you can actually affect some, potentially at some point in the future, affect somebody's behavior, affect somebody's thoughts. You know, theoretically could have them commit a crime for you or whatnot.
I'm surprised they're even talking about this, because as far as I know, nobody really even understands how memories are stored to begin with, do they?
No, I mean, we're starting to understand that, but we don't understand it currently. Listen, there's already devices out there that are being used, not necessarily medically. They're actually sold with FDA clearance, not FDA approval, and they're called transcranial direct current stimulation, or TDCS. And these are electrodes that administer low-grade electrical pulses that stimulate different parts of the brain when they're placed on the surface of the skin. And medically, they can be used to treat, you know, ringing of the ears or depression. Unfortunately, I think they're being sold commercially for people to just use to try and affect their own mood, or to they've been used in gaming and things like that. Well, the problem is they haven't been studied. We don't really understand this interaction between externally applied electricity and our brain well enough to know what the long-term implications of doing this are.
Did you try one of these things?
Yeah, I actually did try one. I mean, they could actually, you know, cause certain things that you wouldn't expect. Like, they could cause lights to flash in one eye, lights to flash in the other eye. Gee. It could cause, you know, movement of my finger, or, you know, movement of my hand, or certain sensations in my body.
You're a surgeon. Really, that's crazy. It could.
I know, it is crazy. And it was just this like plastic thing that I like attached to my head. And
I trust your fingers have stopped twitching now.
My fingers have stopped twitching. It only twitched in the moment he said, your finger's going to twitch. And when he,
wow.
I mean, he was able to directly stimulate whatever the responses he said he was going to. It was very interesting.
So you were like a puppet.
Yeah, but the thing is, that worries me about this is, like, you know, you're delivering electrical impulses to somebody's brain, and there's got to be a risk of causing seizures in people who are prone to seizures. But you know, the risk, the FDA must have felt the risk was low enough to clear it. But if you stimulate the nervous system in certain ways, you can induce a seizure. And so that's one of the things we need to understand before we, you know, release these things into widespread public use.
Well, my suggestion is, before they go around changing memories, back up your old ones to the cloud first.
I never even thought of that.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.